Dear Lord, we pray that we may hear your word this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're back in the book of Ruth. Those of you who were here last week remember that the enacted Bible story that explained what was going on. So I'm assuming that you know roughly what the story is about. But this week we're looking at the story from Naomi's point of view. In one sense, the story of Ruth, as Andy explained last week, is fairly upbeat. It's of a person who finds God and discovers God's presence in a new way. But Naomi's story is the other way around, almost. In fact, she explains it what she thinks very clearly in chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara," which means bitter, "because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi?" I think which means blessed. "The Lord has afflicted me. The Lord has brought misfortune upon me." And Naomi's story reflects the pattern of some of the Psalms, particularly the Psalms of Lamentation, two examples of Psalm 13 and Psalm 22, which of course were written by David, who was Naomi's great-grandson-in-law, work it out. The story starts with a feeling of total disappointment and failure. Everything's gone wrong. God has let her down. The process, as the Psalms do, goes from the failure to praise. And in fact, we saw some of the praise in the reading that Jackie Gates read to us earlier. But we need to start with the frustration and see how Naomi got from that frustration towards that praise and glory that God was helping her at the end. I think that's one of the basic lessons which runs as a theme through the Bible, is that even in failure, God can be there and take us through into glory and hope. But we need to allow him to do it. If we try it ourselves, we fail. But if we allow God to do it, then we get success. So what has gone wrong in Naomi's life? Why did she call herself Mara, bitter? Why did she blame God for what's all gone wrong? Actually, it was her husband's fault. Elimelech decided to take the family away from their home in Bethlehem and go to Moab. Read again verses 1 and 2 of the first chapter. "The days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. Man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. The Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, they went to Moab and lived there." Actually, in a sense, Elimelech was going against God's provision. As we know from going back to Joshua and Judges, every person in the nation of Israel was given a piece of land when they settled in the promised land. So Elimelech actually was a landowner. He had a farm, but he gave it up and went to Moab. Actually, Moabites were supposed to be the descendants of Lot, Abraham's nephew. They weren't exactly alien to the Israelites, but they tended to spend a lot of time trying to frustrate God's will. We read through, again, going back to Deuteronomy and Judges. So Moab was seen as the enemy of Israel, not following God's way. So in a sense, Elimelech was going off to the enemy. And because he was there as a foreigner, the only job he could get really was a hired hand. So he left being a landowner and became a hired hand, which seems to be rather going away from what God had promised. One wonders why he did it. I mean, the Bible doesn't explain. It's odd because, as we see later on in the story, he's got some very rich relations who could have looked after him. I think that's the problem a lot of us have of pride. He didn't want to go to his rich relations and ask for help. He didn't want to wait for God. He went on his own way and failed. And the result of Elimelech going his own way was death. he died, leaving Naomi and his two sons behind. Verse 3. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. It's interesting that in the passage, there's no idea of God judging Elimelech for his wrong decision. But he did suffer the consequences of it. Actually, Moab is a very hilly country and quite a dangerous place, so he probably died from an accident. He's not told how. Now, if we step out of God's provision, we suffer the consequences. It's not punishment from God. We just that's the way life works. Only very slight suggestion of something wrong was perhaps at verse 6. The Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them. God did have a provision for the family, but Elimelech was impatient. He wouldn't wait. He went off on his own and did his own thing. Naomi seems to have done rather well. She found wives for her sons. In the Eastern cultures, it's the families who organize weddings. You don't choose your own wife. It's a family arrangement. She found some quite good wives, actually. But then in verse 5, after they lived there for about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and a husband. So life even got worse, possibly for the same, the sons died for the same reason. They were working as laborers or were perhaps looking after sheep and in a very difficult country died from accidents. But something very positive is that the two daughters-in-law seem to be very much devoted to Naomi. They built up that very strong relationship. Again, in Eastern cultures, we found when we go east, the daughters-in-law come to be part of the household. They work with their mother-in-law very closely. That's sometimes a good thing, sometimes a bad thing. In this case, it seems to be a very good thing. They got on very well, and one got the feeling that Naomi trained them very nicely, very well to do all the hard housework. So there are positive things, but ultimately, Elimelech made a wrong decision and everything went, and there was a failure. So what do you do when everything has gone wrong, when you feel a failure? What did Naomi do? Verse 6 and 7. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food to them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. The two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she'd been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Basically, you start again. Everything's gone wrong. You just go back to where you started, which in Naomi's case was Judah, back to Bethlehem, where she came from. She knew she'd have to admit the failure to her old friends. Two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. Women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" So she was received back, even though she was feeling, yes, but then we go on to 20 and 21, where Naomi feels very bitter and a failure. So she has to admit that she's failed. That's the hard bit. But it's only when we admit that we're in the wrong that we can begin to start restoration, the process of restoration. This is a key theme right through the Bible, that it's those who admit that they're wrong, who come back to God, that God receives. In the New Testament, it's the story of the prodigal son. It's that process of coming back to God that allows God to work. You can't when we go off and do our own thing and think that we're in control. It's only when he's coming, when we're open to God, that we can sort things out. Naomi had now got other responsibilities. She'd got her two daughters-in-law. And she sort of felt very much that she was responsible for them. So she wanted to remove all traces of her old life, the failed life. So she wanted to send Orpah and Ruth back to their families. 8 and 9. So Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back each of you to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you, as you've shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." And she kissed them, and they wept aloud. Naomi's trying to get rid of her old life and start anew. But that doesn't work that way. Ruth was not prepared to go. That's the lovely part of the story. Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." Ruth was not prepared to play ball. She wanted to go with her mother-in-law. And mother-in-law found that a problem. This is an encumbrance that she didn't really want. But the rest of the story basically explains that Ruth, not being an encumbrance at all, was actually the process by which Naomi would find new life, new presence. She'd actually have a very nice retirement because of what Ruth had done. And often that's what another part of the story. When we look at situations, we may see a problem. God sees an opportunity. What seems to be an encumbrance suddenly becomes the way God is using to take us to salvation. We need to change the way we look at things. We need to get our minds attuned to God's way of thinking, not our own. And once Naomi is back in Bethlehem, we find, as we read the rest of the story, actually she understands her birth culture very well. She understands what's going on and is able to advise Ruth very effectively on how to behave. Naomi is back under God's provision. Therefore, God is able to take her through that process of restoration. And in fact, going back down much further on the story, Naomi knew her husband's family and how they would react. In Ruth chapter 3, verse 18, "Then Naomi said, 'Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens. The man will not rest until the matter is settled today.'" Naomi is suddenly back in God's provision and understood what was going on. She was able to learn from God and move forward. And sometimes when we're in the right situation, God does guide us. We need to be ready to listen. We need to be ready to accept what God is doing. Naomi blames God for the failures at the beginning, as we've seen. 21b. "Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." She sort of blamed God for the fault, but it wasn't God made the error. It was her husband. But when Naomi returned to God, God was able to help her. He didn't rebuke her for blaming God for him for making the mistake. He just came in and did what was necessary and enabled Naomi to discover that new salvation, that new provision, what God had for her. So sometimes we need to put aside our own way of thinking and allow God to come in and do what he wants. Actually, reading that book suggests that Naomi was a very capable woman. She followed her husband into a foreign land and was prepared to do what he wanted and kept the family together. She found good wives for her sons. And when she came back to Bethlehem, she gave Ruth some very good advice. Again, looking at Ruth's reaction to Naomi, Ruth is very keen to be with this woman. This woman knows what she's doing. That's, I think, and she also has a faith in God that Ruth herself wanted. But the key to Naomi's eventual success was not her ability to manage, the willingness to return to God's provision, and also to admit to her failure. She's also prepared to accept what she thought was a responsibility, a problem, that God was able to turn that round to use as an opportunity. God was actually going to use Ruth herself to answer Naomi's prayers. And this not only brought Naomi to a very good place, he's also able to use that whole situation as a wider plan that he had for the world. Because, of course, Ruth became the great-grandmother of David, and is also mentioned, I think, as Andy said last week, in Matthew as part of the line of Jesus. One lesson I've had to learn in my life is being capable is not enough. You have to turn to God. You must be willing to submit to God's way of doing things. It often takes failure to bring us to that point of admitting it. We think we can do it ourselves, and suddenly we discover we can't. And then we have to turn to God and say, God, help. During my various travels around the world, I've needed to take risks and sometimes encountered a range of problems. I could spend all day telling you about them. If you want to ask me later, do. But there's a sequence of this, I've discovered. I face a problem. Gosh, something's gone wrong. Then panic. And then think, I ought to pray about this. Then pray about it and sort of calm down and think, oh, okay, God's got it in hand. And God provides a solution. And I'm able to continue what I'm supposed to be doing. What is rather interesting is that the period between starting to panic and starting to pray has got shorter each time. I'm learning the lesson. It's taken a few years. But it's quite good. In fact, the last time this happened, I was with somebody called Michael in Peru. His car broke down. Michael's rather surprised I didn't panic. I got used to this by now. So I prayed to God. And in fact, good things came out of it. Michael discovered met some people he would never have met if the car hadn't broken down, and which were able to help him in his project. If we let God come in and take what's going wrong and deal with it, he turns it around and actually makes things even better than they were before. So God doesn't allow us to get into trouble to punish us. It's so that we rely on him and learn to trust him and learn that he's got an answer, even if we can't see it. So the story of Naomi reflects a classic theme that runs right through the Bible. If we walk away from God's provision, we get into trouble, we'll fail. But there's always a way back. God is ready to take us back if we're prepared to admit our faults and ask God for help. And God sometimes allows us to fail so we can learn that lesson. We can learn that we have to trust on God. We can't rely on our own abilities because they're not enough. We have to look to God for the answer. Well, Naomi had to learn that lesson herself. Also, we see that sometimes we see things in the wrong way if we're looking at it from our point of view. We have to look for God's provision and God's answer. And sometimes what we see as a problem is actually the solution.